All right, so all good? All right. So today I got with me, you know. You good?
I'm straight.
All
right. Slow tie.
I got you, I got you. But, you know, today I got with me, in my opinion, best barber on campus. Maybe not the best barber in UMD, maybe the best barber in the DMV.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, Kobe, welcome to the Your Choice Podcast. How you doing, bro?
Pretty good, bro. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. So you already know the vibe of this. I'll give you a little intro, hype you up. So like I said, Kobe, best barber on campus. You got to see my cuts. That's who the man's behind it. Sophomore at the University of Maryland studying InfoSci, U.S. Army cadet. Part-time comedian because I just figured out he's hitting 3K on TikTok very soon. I didn't know about the TikTok joint, but I tapped into that over the past few days. So I'm going to add part-time comedian on there. But outside of that, I think the conversations that we've had have been like the most meaningful to me. And I'm hoping that today people are going to like see a little bit of what that's all about. Conversations of substance, man rooted in faith such as myself. So Kobe, welcome to the Your Choice Podcast.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate it.
Nah, for sure. So obviously getting into it, how did you start cutting hair? You know, how did you get to this point? Because I know that you said you haven't been doing this for a long time, but obviously from my point of view, I'm like, yo, this guy's very experienced.
Appreciate it, bro. I mean, yeah, I started in like seventh, eighth grade. I went to the barber around that time, and my dad was taking me to the barber sometimes to get my hair cut, and I just didn't like the environment, you know what I mean? Telling the barber that you didn't like the type of haircut that he was giving you or that he gave you, it seemed like it was an attack on their like abilities, you know what I mean? When really, like, you're paying money for this, you want it done right, you know what I mean? And
sure. You
as like someone who's giving out a service should be able to like take some criticism to your work, you know what I mean, if needed, and if it's valid and if it's done respectfully. And the barbers that I was going to, they weren't really able to do that. So I was like, you know, F it, I'm going to learn by myself. I'm learn how to do it. My older brother cut hair already. He already had a skill set in cutting hair. And my older brother before him, also had the ability to cut hair. And so I was like, yeah, this is something I need to learn. So I watched a whole bunch of YouTube channels. And 360 Jeezy, what I mean? 360 Jeezy. I think Sir Cruz, but I don't know if Sir Cruz was a waiver or if he cut his hair. I think he was just a waiver.
Okay.
But yeah, I know Sir Cruz, like they know. But and then I just started cutting my hair. Like I used to just F up over and over and over and over again. And then it got to the point where I was just getting good. And then, yeah. So I think the starting point would be probably seventh or eighth grade.
Mm. And was it out of like passion or was it out of like, yo, this is just another way I can make money. Or even save money.
It started with the save money thing. It started with the save money thing. But, like, first and foremost, like, I felt like, I think, like, if you just want to do something the way you want it and exact and precise, you know what I mean? Especially something like your own appearance, you know what I mean? No one, like, some people will get your appearance right and everything, but me, I'm a specific person, and so I want things the way I want them, especially when it comes to my look and my appearance. So I invested in that, bro. I just was like, okay, I need to dress myself. And I love to see the transformation that I underwent. You know what I mean? I would come in, like, the bathroom and hold up my mirror. I'd be like, damn, I look rough. And then as soon as I start cutting my hair,
looking clean.
I'm like, damn, like, I did this. It makes you feel like an artist. You know what I mean? So it did start off. The first thing it started off with was I don't like the environment. Then moved to I like to change my appearance. Then moved to I'm saving money. Then eventually move to I can make money.
I got you. Yeah. I got you. But that environment joint, right? We were talking about this earlier today.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking, how much of that is our faults as like the clients compared to just the barbers? Because at the end of the day, what's going to really happen if you like, yo, this cuts off?
Bruh.
Like, but like there's something that's inside of all of us that's like, no matter what, if that guy couldn't give you a whole diagonal hairline, you're still not going to say anything.
Yeah, and it's crazy, bro. It's like, I don't know if like people just have people are scared naturally to say the truth, right? But if you start speaking the truth in your life, you know, your life gets a lot better. But if you want like more quality, like things in your life, you need to tell the truth. You know what I mean? And it starts with like simple things like that. And I know environment can definitely be something, but I think it's a character building experience for people who go to barbershops and whatnot. Like you should tell the barber, like if you don't like a cut. I don't know why people don't. Like, you're paying money for this. You should be able to do it. But I think it's just a, maybe it's a confidence thing. Maybe it's you don't want to offend anyone thing. Maybe it's like a, you know what I mean? I know for me, like, sometimes I'd be like, ah, like, this is a little off. Like, but I'm good. Maybe it's a time thing. Maybe it's not, yeah, I don't know. Maybe they don't have options. There's so many things that can go into why people don't say it. But if you're watching this and you go to a barbershop, you better freaking tell your barber you don't like your cut when you don't like it. You know what I mean?
Nah, I feel you.
And like, come to me.
We promo. But I guess then how would you say that you accept your, you know, place of business aside compared to, like, you know, competitors, in the sense, like, everybody can say, I don't like a cut, but for whatever reason, your environment has allowed people to be able to say, like, okay, maybe fix this, or, like, this is cool, Kobe. So, like, what are you actually doing that allows that environment to actually happen? What do you think that is?
I would say, like, I'm a peer at the end of the day. I think that definitely plays a role. Like, I'm literally the same age as a lot of my clients, and I go to school with y'all. You know what I mean? So it makes it so much easier for you to just, like, say, like, what you got to say, because you know me. I'm a friend, right? Before I'm a barber, I'm a friend. And, you know what I mean? I just tell them, like, hey, like, I'm trying to do this so I improve as well. Like, I'm open to criticism. Be as harsh and be as truthful with me as possible. Otherwise, I'll never get better. So in reality, like, more than just, like, a monetary exchange that's happening between us, it's a, like, an exchange of, like, you know what I mean, criticism to my work that betters me at the end of the day. So if you tell me, like, hey, I don't like the way you did this, I'm taking that, I'm annotating that in my head, I'm noting that down in my head, I'm like, okay, for next time, I need to do this better for this client. And that makes me versatile when I'm working with anyone, and it teaches me, and it just, it's making me a better barber, you know what I mean?
Mm. And what's the worst thing someone said to you? Like, in terms of, like, the criticism?
No one is just, like, just lashed. Like, no one has done that before. Like, people have said, oh, Kobe, could you do this, make this fade a little higher? Oh, could you push my line up? Like, you know what I mean? Even it out. Like, nothing crazy. Like, I can't think of a time where somebody was like, yo, bro, this is a terrible haircut, and, like, you need to, like, thankfully, you know what I mean? Yeah. I haven't done that to anybody. But,
for sure.
Yeah, that's, I can't think of anything super crazy that has happened that, like, was that horrible.
To get to that point, though, where, you know, you're cutting hair and you haven't had anyone, you know, say that, like, you've really messed someone up, right? It's only probably come because you made sure that you did enough work behind the scenes before you started saying, like, yo, I cut hair, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? So tell me about that process. How long did it take for you to start cutting to the point where you're like, yo, I can actually cut hair, offer it as a service, and most likely people are going to actually say it's valid?
Yeah, bro. I think that started for me when I joined the military. Like, my haircutting journey, like, was kind of solo, kind of in my house, just my little brothers and I. But when I joined the military later on, like, straight out of high school, I dove deeper into that. The demand for, like, barber skills on a military base was high, you know what I mean? Because the barbers that work on a military base, you know what I mean, they just couldn't hit it the way that, like, a lot of, like, the other soldiers wanted it. They never touched my hair. I wouldn't even allow it, man. The haircuts that I would see, like, people come back from the shop with, I'd be like, damn, like, you know what I mean? So I was like, yeah. At that point, I had gotten better and better and better. You know what I mean? Because I was doing it in high school a lot. I was cutting my little brother's hair. I was cutting my hair. I saw my older brother. He was cutting his hair, and I learned from him. Watched a whole bunch of videos, 360 Jeezy, all of that. And then once I had compiled all of that, I took with me to the military. And when I had the military, it was kind of like my second actual job. I had some money, you know what I mean? And I invested in myself. Once I invested in myself, then I used that time that I had. I used the bigger space that I had, because, like, we lived in kind of like apartments, they're called barracks. I used all that time and all that space that I had and all the money that I had at that time, because I was going about, like, for about a year. And I just invested in myself. I got better, and I saw that there was a demand for it, you know what I mean, in the area of the base that I was at. So I just, you know what I mean, I took that to my advantage and just started to put my name out there.
For sure. And you actually brought up, you know, the next subject I want to talk about, which was, you know, you being in the military, as I said before, a U.S. Army cadet. How did that come about? And let's just get into the responsibilities that comes with on a day-to-day basis, as well as the commitments long-term.
Brody, I didn't know what I wanted to do out of high school, bro. Mm. And that's like, that's just the truth of the matter. I didn't know what I wanted to do out of high school. And I knew I didn't want to go into debt. I knew that, like, if I chose college, like, it would either be me paying or, like, my parents breaking their backs to pay. And I was like, yeah, like, I don't even know what I want to do. There's no point in me, you know what I mean, going that route. So I looked at the military and I was like, golly, like, this seems like something different, something cool to do. My brother had done it, and he was a changed man. And I mean, he was a timely guy, responsible guy, mature guy. And I saw those attributes in him, and I was like, okay, I think I want to do something like that. You know what I mean? And at that time, I didn't really see too many, you know, black people, maybe because my lack of being exposed to anything military. But I didn't see a representation there. I was like, okay, it'd be cool to go do that. I think I had definitely seen some, like, cool, like, some cool ads and stuff. And I was like, okay, you know what I mean? Let's see, like, what that has in store for me. And it felt peaceful, you know what I mean, when I prayed on the decision and when I talked about it with, you know, the people in my life who I was making the decision with. And, yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And you just touched on praying and having that peace with your decision. Obviously, both of us being two people of faith.
Oh, yeah.
You know, literally the first question that you asked me outside of the, you know, how are you doing, you know, how's your day been, whatever, when you first cut me, it was like, do you believe in God? And that caught me off guard, and in a good way, because I'm someone who's always, like, very open, like, talking about, you know, mm-hmm. my faith and, like, how that guides everything I do and, like, you know, being a believer that, of Jesus Christ dying for my sins and things of that nature. So talk to me about your journey in faith and, you know, how it's, you know, transitioned up till now.
Mm-hmm. Well, would you have asked me if I didn't ask you?
No.
For real?
Dang. I probably wouldn't. I mean, I can be honest. Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, I will say this. Yeah. And, like, anybody who's not friends with me, been on this podcast, whatever, like, anyone who has a relationship with, like, Will, when you first talk to me for the first time and, like, we're having a long conversation,
yeah,
God will come up. My faith will come up. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Now, can I guarantee I would have said, yo, Kobe, you mm-hmm. believe in God?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But I think we had already even talked about God beforehand, just mm-hmm. because that's just what my nature's and my conversations lead. Because even if you're telling me about, like, a certain thing you're going through, I'm telling you about a certain thing I'm going through, I usually end up referring to God because he's the one who's guiding all of this that's happening anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So if I was on, like, some sad, like, sad boy stuff and just, like, depressed and whatnot, you'd have brought up God?
Yeah, probably. Okay. Yeah, probably. Ooh, I would say, yeah. If that was the case, I definitely probably would have. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have said it maybe, because I don't know you that well. I probably wouldn't have just been like, yo, bro, just give it to
God.
Because,
you know, sometimes when you, like, mention that stuff to people, they'd be, like, really insensitive. I mean, they like, think that you're being really insensitive because they don't believe in it. And it's mm-hmm, like, yeah, mm-hmm. like, you got to kind of got to, like, skip around with things like that. Mm. But
so you'd be walking on tiptoes when it comes to, like, bringing up God?
Nah, or sometimes no. I just be like, bro,
you have to understand the context of the situation.
Yeah, like, even then, sometimes, like, I know I should be doing it. Like, I think sometimes I do. I'm very cautious about, like, who I say it to and, like, what I say it, how I say it. Yeah. Obviously, you know what I mean? You shouldn't just be, like, throwing truth at people. But truth will have to come out either way. You just need to be tactful in the way that you do it. So it depends on, like, who I'm talking to. Like, if I'm talking to someone and, like, you know what I mean, they're a very, like, hard person and whatnot, and I don't know. Like, I tell people that, like, you got to realize that, like, you'll die one day, you know what I mean? And, like, death is knocking on everybody's door. It's 100% certain that at some point in your life, you will die, right? And so when, like, you put that in perspective, some people, when you say that to them, they're like, oh, snap, like, yeah, I am going to die. Like, I don't talk about death a lot. I don't think about death a lot. Like, and that's the problem with our, like, we don't think about death a lot, you know what I mean? And when you begin to realize that that's something that can happen to you, like, it makes you, you know, think about your life and your decisions a lot more, like, seriously and about. And sometimes when I'm, like, talking to people or, like, evangelizing, like, that's a way to, like, get people, like, whoa, like, what is this dude saying right now? I'm going to die. Oh, yeah, I am going to die. That is a thing that can happen to people. You know what I mean? And then it just leads into a good conversation about Christ.
Okay. I got
but
you.
But that depends. But that's the thing I usually start with.
Mm, okay. So, like, we can talk about haircuts, or we can just talk about getting to know people in general. Are you going into, like, new interactions with the, you know, goal of not trying to evangelize in the sense, like, you don't even know if this brother believes in God or he doesn't believe in God, but are you going into that, like, you know, I want to have a conversation about Christ? Is that, like, a subconscious thing or even a conscious thing? I'm actually very interested
if you look at my, like, on my, like, Instagram, Kobe Cutum, like, the first thing it says is, like, follower of Christ. Mm. So, yeah, I, like, like, I want to use it as a way to like evangelize, because as Christians, like, it's literally a command from Jesus Christ,
sure,
right? That
sure.
We should be evangelizing. We should be telling people about the gospel. And it's a scary thing to do. It's a very scary thing to do, especially like talking to our generation about it and the things that we see on a daily basis, bro. I mean, like, you know what I mean? We see some wild stuff, bro. And you know, you go here too, bro. You go to UMD, bro. We see some wild stuff sometimes, you know what I mean? And some people don't have to try and hear all that, you know what I mean? And, but the goal and the objective of what I want to do when someone sits in my chair is, you know what I mean, talk to them about real stuff, about stuff that's like, you know what I mean? I don't know where this person has just came from or what is going on in their life. I only know that, like, my objective is to tell them about Christ. And that's what I try to do, which I fail monumentally almost all the time, because some people come in and we just having a conversation about something totally different. You know what I mean? Some people come in and they already follow the Christ like yourself, bro. And yeah, I mean, that's just what I try to do, you know. Is that something that you've been implementing on this show? Like,
I mean, yeah, I don't think there's a single episode where we haven't talked about God. You know what I'm saying? I mean, anybody, this is a platform that I've definitely set up for everyone. But I think so far, everyone that's come on have been Christians. But, you know, have a lot of people even working behind the scenes of different faiths. I don't even, maybe some that I don't even know if they have faith or not. But, like, yeah, for sure. Because everything I'm doing in my life, I want to, you know, one, glorify God, you know, also be a fisher of men. And if I'm using this platform, that's a great way to do that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think there's a single episode so far that has come out where, like, we don't have at least a 20-minute segment where we're just talking about our faith, how you got to that point, and, you know, what you're doing, like, how you're continuing to grow, whether it be with, like, we've had musicians on, and I we've all pressed the question, like, yo, the music that you're listening to or the music that you're putting out, how is this aligned with our faith? So we've had some great discussions in that since.
You know, there was a question that you had that you had asked young Seriki, Ayo, and on his joint. I think it was like, oh, what would you do? Like, I don't know. I forgot what the question was exactly, but it was about like him like being a follower of Christ and like, you know, as you're rising into fame, right? Are you going to be associated with this group that like does like, you know what I mean, like, rumor, demonic stuff and whatnot. I like to ask that question to you. Like, if you were getting to a point where like this is growing and growing and growing, you know what I mean, and you have like non-Christian people who want to come on, like, do you believe that you'll be able to like keep this content, you know what I mean,
Christian still, based? Like,
yeah, Christian based. Well, if you have a whole different type of people that come on, you know what I mean, how you gonna do that?
That's a really good question. I truly believe that anybody, whoa, hold on, let me back up. Not anybody can come on this platform. And before I get canceled, right? It's just the type of thing where someone actually gave me advice. It's like, welcome everyone, because, you know, Jesus, who is he around the most? The sinners.
Hey, bro.
You see what I'm saying? And even the sinners, well, all sinners, actually, you can learn from, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's
right.
a bunch of people that, you know, don't even have faith where I've learned from them, or it's even made me pursue my faith more because they've asked me a question, and because I wasn't like instilled in my faith, I wasn't even able to like answer that question back to them.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So that can be gained from this platform. And also just like, for example, everything does structure around my faith, but there's some conversations that it's just like, well, because this person doesn't believe in God, he can't help me, you know, give me advice on how to run a podcast, how to market a podcast, all that type of stuff. So like, bro, as Christians, we can't be judgmental, always got to be willing to learn. You know what I'm saying? But then you do have, like, your principles. If someone here is promoting demonic stuff, this is not...
Gone.
It ain't your choice.
It ain't your choice.
It ain't your choice. It ain't your choice, bro.
You need to get...
I've thought about it a lot in terms of, like, you know, as this platform continues to grow, and, like, you know, God willing, we have the opportunity to pull brothers who have a lot of notoriety, but they may not have that faith. Am I taking that opportunity just because I know that notoriety is there, but they could propagate that something's completely, you know, against my, you know, beliefs? Like, I can say right now confidently that like I wouldn't, you know, bring those such people on. But, you know, at the end of the day, who's the brother, the one who said he told Jesus he won't deny him,
Peter.
Peter, bro. At the end of the day, Peter said he won't deny you. He denied
that's
you.
That's true, bro.
Only God knows only when God I'm put in those situations. But, you know,
all right, that's what we got.
Grace, you know, Holy Spirit just guided me. I like to think that, like, I'll be very smart in bringing the right people on. Like, sure, I said, bro, does not have to be Christian, because you can learn from, like, all walks of life. All
right.
But, yeah, that's a really good question. It's something that I've really been thinking about, but my circle hasn't gotten so big where I've even had those people yet.
Yeah. Well, but those times are going to come, bro. You know what I mean? Yeah, think back to the conversation.
For sure. Kobe be like, back in my head, I'm like, yeah, you know, this brother is like, said, this brother got 300,000 followers. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He's the hottest new person. And he's like, yo, I want to come on your choice. And I'm like,
but you look on his profile, how you see it's just,
yeah. So, but I guess we didn't even answer this question. So I was trying to figure out, when was that click for you in terms of like, you know, you're not perfect when it comes to your walk of Christ, your relationship with Christ, and like even your service, serving, being like serving God. But like, when did it come to you? When did it click? You know, this is the life I want to live. And you're really like starting to pursue and grow with your relationship with like God.
Man, I say like, I don't have a specific point in my life where it just, boom, I'm not perfect. Oh, snap. Yeah. No, I think it was like, I think it's like a realization that I go through like all the time, man. Like, I'm such a critical person, and like, I'm such a, you know what I mean? I scrutinize like myself and my actions so much, especially like in a profession, like, you know, haircutting. Like, I'm like, oh, did I get that line straight? Did I get that line straight? Is this fade right? Is he gonna like the fade? Da, 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 da. And like, in my early stages of like cutting hair, that like led to a lot of like longer haircuts and just dragging people's time out, just trying to get it perfect. And then in my military life, like the military is an environment where like you're always being criticized, you're always being scrutinized, you're always being like checked to if you're doing the right thing or whatnot. And so if I wasn't, I just felt like I wasn't meeting the standard, especially like being black. And like, I haven't encountered like racist activity in the military, but, sometimes, like, because I'm a minority, I feel like I need to perform higher, you know what I mean? Because I'm a black person. And so I have this, like, anxiety that I get sometimes. It's like, oh, I need to perform. Oh, I need to perform. I need to do better. I need to do better. Because, like, I can't be looking like, you know, if you're, let me put an example to this. If you have a classroom filled with, like, people who aren't black and you're the only black person there, and you know the culture that, like, you know how people in America feel about black people, right? It don't matter if you're African or if you're black. Like, it's the same thing. It's not the same thing, but it's the same thing in terms of like, when you're looking at someone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're doing bad as the only black person in that classroom, it'll be, oh, he's a black person. Of course he's doing bad. You know what I mean? That's what I think is happening, right? Because if you're a minority and, like, the smaller amount of people there are that look like you, you know, the more the standard, the more the bar is raised. You need to do better.
Yeah, bro, I understand completely what you're saying, because I went to a school where it was like about maybe like the whole school, less than 20 like black boys. So like,
bruh, it's crazy, right? Like even going to that school, right? You know that like, if you start acting up, if you start acting out, right?
Mm-hmm. All black people act up. All black people are this. Yeah, like, I know what you're trying to
say. You are literally like a representation of
a whole race
right there.
And not just black, African, or Caribbean, like grouping you all into one category.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And whatever they go out into the world and experience, right? They'll come back and they'll see you in your own life. And whatever their parents are teaching them at home, they'll come back and they'll see you in their own life, in their own classroom. And if you do something that's different, then you'll be judged based off of that. And I'm not saying the people that I work with are thinking this way. I'm just saying that this is the way that I've been influenced to think because of my environment. I just think I need to perform higher and more, you know, me efficiently because of the color of my skin. And I mean, I'm sure that's not that way, but it looks that way when you're a minority. But going through that has made me realize that I'm not perfect. And because every time I look at God's laws and I see the things that I break almost every single day of my life, it's a realization that, like, I can't run away from. We're not perfect, bro. We're not. And I'm not perfect. And we are forever striving to get that way, right? It's called sanctification, right? That's what like, knowing Christ leads you to doing, right? Bettering yourself every single day, walking in the Spirit, right? And trying to be more and more like Him every single day. But once you continue to do that, like, you just see that you're not perfect. You know what I mean? And anyone watching, like, read Romans chapter 6-8. You'll see how Paul talks about that so specifically, about the struggles of being a Christian and how, like, he wants to do the right things and he fails at doing the right things, and he wants to do good things and he fails at doing that, and he just does the things that he hates. And it's a It's a never-ending cycle, bro. But we continuously are being sanctified to be more and more like Christ every single day.
Mm. Yeah. I got you. So for you, like you said, never like a specific moment. It's just like over time, you know, coming to that realization.
Yeah.
And then like, okay, that's cool. Yeah, I always like to ask that question because I always find it interesting when people decided to like make that decision. But then like, I guess it's always a process because for me also, it was definitely a time period, but it was still a process, if that makes sense. Because I think it started out of just wanting to get certain things. And so obviously, if we live a life that glorifies God genuinely, right, it's going to come with blessings.
That's true.
You see what I'm saying? So I remember like it was around seventh grade. You know, my dream, I want to be a professional soccer player. I want to do X, Y, and Z. And for people who don't know how like soccer works in like America, it's not really a thing of like if you're good enough. A lot of it is a money type of thing. You see what I'm saying?
That's wild.
So like, yeah, playing soccer growing up was really tough for me because, you know, you would have to pay like, let's just say $2,000 to be on a team, then hotel fees, travel, all that type of stuff. So, that's like, wild. You know, obviously, giving with my family's fun and then finances on top of that, you know, odds were stacked against me a little bit, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I remember, like, always growing up in church and things of that nature. But then when I started having, like, certain goals and certain things I wanted to happen in my life, I'm like, let me live a good life, you know, that's, like, honoring God. And then that will lead to, like, you know, me getting the blessings. Very, thinking of Christ and my relationship with Christ is very transactional. That's how I started out. You know what I'm saying? But I do believe that, like, you know, habits, you know, then obviously become a lifestyle. So, like, that's how it was for me. I don't know if that's a bad thing or a good thing. What's your opinion on that?
What is your view on it now, right?
My view on it was that my view on it now and what it was back then is probably the same in the sense where it's like, it's just, I'm just using common sense. But the difference between me as a seventh grader and me now is like, I've also really come to the realization all of the things that God has done for me that like, yo, I don't even need any more. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's just so many things that have happened in my life that like, I can literally like cite like right now where it's like, yo, I don't deserve this. So that's why now I'm trying to live this life. But when I do live this life, that's like, as much as Christ as possible, because it can never be perfect, good things are going to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's how I see it now. But I also don't see it as a bad thing that it started out as like, because even me living that way, that's humility to a certain extent, knowing that God is the one who controls, you know, things that are good or bad things that are going to happen to me. He allows bad things to happen. Then he also, what's it called, makes good things happen.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it was just more of, like, developing a mindset, like, a more mature mindset, but I don't think it was a bad thing starting out for real.
And I don't think it was a bad thing either, bro. I mean, what are friendships, right? Almost all the friendships that we have are friendships where there's an exchange of value, right? There's an exchange of value between us, right? I mean, if one of our friends, like, is just really bummy, right, how long does it take until he's our friend, you know what I mean? Or she's our friend, you know what I mean? Like-minded people hang with like-minded people, right? Because they know that they can exchange value between each other, whether that be ideas, goals, dreams, passions, right? Activities, like there's always an exchange of value, right? And that's what creates a friendship. But I think what sustains friendships, right? And we're friends of God, right? When you're his children, we're his sons, right? Is like that forming a relationship with him, right? Because it for us, like with God, like it goes past just like exchanging value, right? But because he loved us, right? We love him because he first loved us, right? He showed his love to us. And because we're his children now, right? It doesn't end that just we're exchanging value. We do what he says, he gives us the goodies. Nah, it's like, we really want to get to know this person, right? And why do we want to get to know this person? Because he did the highest form of sacrifice, right, for us, right? He died on a cross for us, right? Yeah. And when you do a good thing for someone, right? Like, if I did something good for you, like, would you want to reciprocate it?
Yeah.
And that's why we pray. It's like, nah. Yeah, and that's why we pray, bro, because you want to get to know him better. Because it's not just a transactional relationship. It's more than that, right? It's us. It's our realization of his love for us. It's getting to know him even more. And him knowing us, getting to know him even more. So we pray to form that relationship, you know what I mean? And that's how we maintain our friendship with him.
Nah, I got you. That makes sense. So this is what I want to do. All right, I'm gonna do a little like we're gonna do a little role play. Right.
Okay.
So obviously we're talking about how like you know it is your goal to a certain extent evangelize every time you meet someone new. You know what I'm saying? And at first it sounds a bit crazy, but then when I really strip things back, it actually makes sense. You know, if that's really what we've been commanded to do, you know, it's called make disciples of all nations. Cool. Makes sense. Every transaction. I feel like, you know, now we're just using the joy transaction. Mm-hmm. That's bad. Yeah. Every conversation, yeah. You know what I'm saying? You want to come away with, you want that person to come away with, like, you know, feeling the presence of God. That can be literally, like, you speaking it, or just by the way you move, right? So, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to be, first time cutting you, you're going to try and, like, you know, try and minister me to a certain extent. Mm. And, you know, I say, my reaction is not the best. Like, I don't want to see how you're going to, you know, go about things.
I bet.
All right.
So I'm cutting you.
You cut, okay.
Damn, man, your head kind of big. Did God make you this way? It's like, nah. It's like, nah. But, all right, dang. Okay, let's go.
Okay.
Me in the barbershop.
Sure. I'm going to pull up, and then, like, when I pull up and we're talking, but then we're going to, like, fast forward it into, like, 10 minutes into the conversation.
Okay,
time.
All right.
Yo.
Yeah.
Kobe Cutter?
That's me.
Yo, Will, I had to cut at 5.
Oh, for real? Okay. Yeah, I got you scheduled. You're good, bro.
You know, you like saw like my message, I want taper fade. Like,
yes, sir. I got everything.
I heard lots of good things about you, bro, so I'm excited for this.
Hey, man, I'm really happy to have you here, bro.
You know,
good
I
to have
you
here.
So, wait, should I just sit right here?
Yeah, you sit right there. You're good.
Right, cool.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, how your day going?
Well, it'll be straight. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. It's just like the last barber that I had been messing my joint up, so... Mm. I'm just excited to get this cut, you know, get back in the game. Because this week has been rough. I'm not going to got finals and everything. But, yeah. So, hopefully, you can get me back in the game and we'll be good to go.
Well, dang, bro. I'm really excited to have you here. And I appreciate you coming through. My whole motto is that I want the cut how you want it. All right. So, I'm going to give you the mirror and show you as I'm cutting your hair. So, that you tell me that everything that I'm doing is exactly the way you want it. And if it's not, please let me know. And we can change it out and do what we need to do to get how you want it.
Right, that's a bet. All right, so now we've done. Well, that's the intro. We're 15 minutes in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We're talking about the playoffs.
Yeah.
All right. Ready? All right.
Go.
Action. Yeah, bro. I mean, Timberwolves, bro.
Mm.
They coming, them young boys. Yeah, Anthony Edwards, bro.
They're crazy, bro. Yeah, that bro. Man, they calling them like the next Jordan, man. It's crazy.
He may be better than Jordan, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. But, hey, bro, by the way, like... are you religious?
What do you mean? Like,
yeah.
What do you mean religious?
You believe in God? Like, you go to church? Like,
I mean, I grew up in church, bro. But you know, like as we get older, all that stuff, bro. That's some BS, bro.
Come dang, on. Bro. That's really crazy, man. Like, I mean, you don't ever think about like that there could be like a higher power out there, something God in your life.
Big Bang Theory? Or like, bro, what you talking about, gang?
Nah, not Big Bang Theory, bro. Like, you realize that you'll die one day, right?
For sure. Yeah. That's why I'm trying to live my life every day. Like, I'm going to die, so I'm always trying to get into new things, experience X, Y, and Z. Like, bro, you only live once, so.
Ah, man, that's true. You do only live once, you know what I mean? And, you know
so,
what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So why are we believing in God? Because, like, the guy you talking about, yeah, I went to church, bro, like. You know, you reborn and everything. But look at you. You just said it, too. You only live once, so.
Yeah, that's true. So what do you think happens after death?
Shoot, I don't have time to think about that, bro.
Well, you say you've been to church, right? You say you read the Bible before, right?
For sure.
Yeah, so you know that there's that one of those is an option, right? There's either heaven or hell, right?
I mean, bro, I've heard all the Bible joints, but I'm like, the way I've lived my life, I've realized that, like, if I just do things the way I want to do them, things get done faster, I'm free, and, like, yeah, bro.
That's interesting, bro. Well, you know what I mean? Hey, if you ever have time on your hands, bro, if you want to talk about something, you know, more than yourself, like...
Damn.
There's something called the Bible, you know what I mean? And Jesus Christ died for you.
I'm going to get back in character.
He died for you and for your sins. And, you know, if you place your faith in him, you know what I mean, you have eternal life and salvation waiting for you. You know what I mean? And it kind of just, I had to be in a scenario, you know?
Yeah. It's tough.
And not only just that, but sometimes, like, I'm not going to sit there and try to convince you that.
No, God yeah, for sure.
The right, for sure. That Jesus Christ is, I would love for you to, but I cannot change anyone. And I will
think
not
it, I think, anyone. And this is just my opinion, and, like, everybody's, like, calling for how they actually I don't remember what chapter or even the verse, but God has given us all different gifts to be a part of the body of Christ.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Some is to teach.
Come on.
You know, some is to speak.
First Corinthians chapter 12.
There you go. You see 12, what I'm saying?
13.
So like me personally, I truly believe one of my gifts has been like speaking in terms of like how I articulate myself to make things, you know, very like relatable. I'm able to like, I understand your point of view. Here's my point of view. And like, because I'm actually coming with like that mindset of like, yo, I actually to relate to what you're saying and I hear you. I think it makes it a lot more easier for people to like open up to when I'm ready to like evangelize. You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
Well, like some people, bro, like God has not given you that gift to speak, but he's maybe given you another gift. You can even, we talked about, you know, off camera, how I told you I always wanted to play soccer and you want to know like professionally, right? And like something that always like was big to me was like seeing athletes, you know, declaring their faith, you know, maybe God has literally given them that gift directly just so, you know, after the game, even they say that small thing, just want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? Facts. You don't know how many little kids that can impact, because as kids, we all at one point like almost see these guys as idols. So when they say, yo, this is who I'm serving, you know, it could spark some curiosity that could change someone's life forever. So God's given us all gifts. For me, personally, going back to like that, just that point I'm trying to make, I may not go in, you know, saying, even talking about Christ, but it's like through the way I move, whatever, whatever, it just leads to it naturally. Where maybe for you, it's like God has put that inside of you, like always ask certain questions. You know what I'm saying?
That's right, bro. You know what I mean? And on a base level for every Christian, right? The thing that God has given us and is creating in us is the fruits of the Spirit, right? That's like the first way that we show that, like, you know, we're his sons and that we're his children, right? By just being peaceful, by being, you know what I mean, joyful, by being patient, right? By being gentle, you know what I mean? By being self-controlling and kind, and, you know what I mean? By just exhibiting any of the fruits of the Spirit, right?
For sure.
People can, you know, it's an indicator of who we come from, you know what I mean? We say we love Christ, we can't hate people. We say we love Christ, we have to love people, right? And so when you see that love being demonstrated, you know what I mean, in a brother and a sister, you can see that, and an unbeliever can see, or any other person in the world can see that this person, like, belongs to Christ. He belongs to God, you know what I mean? You'll know them by their fruits, right? That's what Jesus said,
sure.
Right? So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's facts, bro.
I think one of the, it literally happened just, like, yesterday. Somebody who, you know, starting out the podcast, got to tell as many people about it, just get heads on it, you know, because I've always said something, I think something that I said to you is that it's not about the content, it's about getting people to the content, because once they start watching, I truly don't believe they'll stop, right? So I had a friend, told her about the podcast, she kind of just like disregarded it. Then for whatever reason, like 2-3 weeks later, she finally watched like the first episode, and like she sent me like this long paragraph talking about like how much it's impacted her, whatever, whatever. And then like she said, I always knew you were a Christian, but I couldn't tell you why. Because I never, like, spoken to her about Christ or whatever. Like, and that was just, like, a big, like, a reminder to me. It's like, you know, sometimes it don't always got to be, you know, you saying it. It's like, like you said, your fruits, whatever you put out, people can identify, you know, where your beliefs stand with just by the way that you move. So that's a really good point.
Yeah, bro. Amen.
Yeah, but definitely wish this conversation could go a lot longer, but due to some circumstances, cameras, timing, people trying to, you know, play with us, get us out of the studio, you know, we'll probably have to cut this one a little bit short. Yeah. Definitely probably going to make a part two. You never, the part two may come out
part
with
two.
The part two and the part one may come out back to back. You never know. But, you know, wrapping up, I just want to talk about, you know, plans for the summer, future, you know what I'm saying? Then obviously we'll plug the socials and things of that nature.
Awesome. Hey, plans for the summer, working. Working, internships, military, life, you know what I mean? I'll be cutting hair. I changed my location, y'all, so you'll see it on Kobe Cutem, or you'll see it on the Cut app. I'm just ready to continue to, you know what I mean, get my fitness up, keep my fitness, keep my physical health good and all of that, and I'll just be around, man. I'll be around. And, you know, we'll be in touch. So,
for sure.
About yourself? Big plans?
You know, just trying to make your choice the biggest podcast in the world.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
I also got internship coming up. So that's also, you know, something I'm very excited about. Should I say I'm excited about sitting behind that desk? I don't know.
I'm sitting behind that desk too, bro.
Yeah.
We both back
you
now.
Know, And then also, I'm going to try and catch up with a lot of people. Well, try my best, because I know there's a lot of people that I've unintentionally pissed off because I have not been speaking to them with this podcast going on. But I mean, that's just a guy. The same way when they're working towards their joint and sometimes like, they can't speak to me.
Exactly.
You know, it goes both ways. Hey, you know?
That's life.
You know, and then like, and I think like the people who understand, those are like actually the people that you need to keep around. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, those are my three things: podcasts, work, catch up with some friends, and yeah, just keep it pushing.
That's right.
Then yeah, plug the socials and then cut this joint.
Hey, let's go. Nah, I appreciate you, bro. Hey, y'all follow me at CEEKOBE and Kobe Cutem, KOBECUTEM.
Yes, sir. And then obviously, your choice part on all platforms, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, appreciate you coming on, bro. You know, this has definitely been a by force episode.
I know,
you know what I'm saying? But hey, I think with the content that we have, there's still going to be some clips. And like, I always encourage people, bro, listen to the full joint, because that's where like the real wisdom is picked up.
Come on.
And hey, like I said, part two is definitely going to be in the woods, because part one, this was just a little bit. You guys missed out on a lot of action. So,
yes, sir.
Yeah, cut it right there.
Peace.
Cool.
Love, bro.
Nah, appreciate it, bro.
Appreciate you, man.